The Guardian.
Hi, Leia Green here. And before you get started with this episode of Token, we wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For everything you need to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/guardian to get 10% off your first purchase. And now, here's the show.
Hi, I'm Freddie.
I'm Leia.
Welcome back to episode 2 of our Vag Chat with Vagina Dispatches presenter and all-round excellent human, Mona Chalabi. In this episode, we're continuing to talk about contraception.
I have a copper coil.
Apparently, they found them in mummies. Ancient Egyptian mummies, they
That's
have
where
found.
I got mine from.
I thought that was a really stupid question. Oh my God. Periods.
If you just have very, very rare ones, they're pretty nasty as well.
Really?
Do you not think? Okay, mine are a little bit nasty.
Pigeons.
It wasn't all the way in, so the feet and stuff were still sticking out.
And someone's first orgasm.
Do you know what? I have to say, okay, so I wouldn't call it full-on menstrual psychosis, but I do go through changes like on a monthly basis, right? Right. And before, when I used to have my period, it would come and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, if I was feeling sad or something, rightly or wrongly, I could put it down to that. And it was like therapeutic in a way. And now I don't have that thing because I never really get that marker of being like, is that what it was?
Maybe, but...
Or if you just get really hungry.
Depends what the pill does. Because you might still have the same hormonal changes that were creating mood changes.
Yeah, but if you don't have your period, you just can't say, like, for definite, I'm on my period, that's what I'm
But it could still be the same process happening that's making you feel...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But because you don't have the marker, you can't say.
Right.
But do you also have the hormone while you do?
I've got the implant.
Oh, yeah, you told me. Yeah.
And it really grossed you out.
Oh, my God, what? What? How did you touch it?
You can touch it.
Look. Touch it. It's not nice.
It's not that gross. Feel it. You look so scared.
No, I can't feel it. Oh, is it a long, skinny... God, you're like the bionic woman.
It's amazing. You know, the whole time I had it, I thought it was made of metal until the 3-year time when she took it out and it was white. And I was like, what have I done to it? And she was like, it's always been made of plastic. I just thought it was a needle. I didn't even know what it was.
See, I just assumed it was going to be something in your vagina, by the way. That's why I freaked out.
No. Touch it. Touch it, Freddie.
I mean, yeah.
And you were like, I touched it.
Exactly.
It takes a lot to grace me.
Where did that happen?
But don't you think that says something about our relationship with birth control? I didn't even understand how my hormonal IUD worked.
Mm. I've got no idea. I still don't know how it works.
But you should know.
Why?
Because, like, honestly...
It's like buying, I don't know how the TV works. I know it's not the same. But like, it does...
Look up horror.
You can see my face right
I'm
now.
I'm not
my face
saying
is
it's
like,
the
Leia,
same,
stop
but, like,
with
I don't
the analogy.
Understand science.
No, I know, but this
so
is
I'm
something
not
that
understand
is living
it.
With you all the time. And for example,
and
right?
All I want is for it to make me not get pregnant and
right,
not have any periods, and it works.
Okay, we put that above everything else, but I'll give you an example, which is the Nuva ring. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's another type of contraceptive.
Yeah, I have heard of
and
it.
Like, you know, because like people who had these in didn't really, you know, you read the packet that it comes with has like 15 pages of side effects. You're just like, don't have time for that. And if these women had realized that, these people with vaginas had realized that, you know, it can cause pulmonary issues, they would have known that when they felt shooting pains in their legs, it meant that they were getting blood clots in their lungs. And people are dying because of these things, partly because they don't realise. Like, you should know things that might be associated as complications of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I have to say, I did have a little... It stays in for 3 years and then you get it taken out, you can put it straight back in again. And I was like, you know, I've been on some form of hormonal contraception since I was 15, and I've never, like, noticed any bad side effects, but I started thinking, like, I wonder whether my personality is actually completely different, or, like, whether I've got this, like, secret, like, enormous sex drive. I was like, oh, maybe it'd be a good idea for me to, like, take it out and not put it back in and just see, like, what my body is like naturally or whatever. Mm. And the doctor was like, do you want to get pregnant? I was like, no, I don't want to have a baby. I just thought, you know, like, it would be a good idea to not have any extra hormones or And she was just like, I don't see what the problem is. She made me feel so stupid that I just got it put back in.
Yeah.
But hormonal... Sorry to get involved in your podcast.
Hi, producer Rowan.
Hormonal contraceptives are not the only option. I have a copper coil because I don't want hormones.
Yeah.
And it's great. Haven't got...
How does that work? I imagine it
Do
being
you know,
like
no one knows. Apparently, they found them in mummies. Ancient Egyptian mummies. They
That's
have
where
found.
I got mine from.
I thought that was a really stupid question. Oh, my God.
You found it in a pyramid.
Second in the British Museum.
When you were in Sharm El Sheikh on your holidays.
We might need to fact check that because someone sent it to me and I've been repeating it all over the place. But no one understands it as far as I know. They're just like, this works.
Oh, well, I was told it's because it's copper. And
I know, but how does the copper work?
And copper just destroys sperm.
Yeah, but why? What?
The sperminator.
Sperm just doesn't like copper.
Yeah, but that's still not an explanation. That's not a scientific...
Well, it could just be a natural spermicide, right?
Mm. Yeah, but how? Why?
It gives it a tiny
chemistry.
Electric shock.
Okay. It's amazing, though, isn't it? Which is, I think, men aren't supposed to wear those copper bracelets because I think it affects their sperm count.
Because they're supposed to work for like arthritis.
Yeah, people and back really pain know. And stuff. Yeah.
Are the copper coils like the really... Because copper's a really nice metal, isn't it? And it's very inner. They like... Do they look like shiny and nice? Do you know what I mean? You know, like...
You want this season's hottest contraceptive.
I really like copper.
Don't they make your vagina green?
No.
What?
That's what happens when you wear a copper ring. I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, but it lives in your uterus. Like, it doesn't... It's not in your vagina.
I'm gonna look into the copper coil.
It makes your periods heavier though, which is why most
people, not with everyone.
But did it make yours heavier? I don't know anyone who...
For about 3 months, and then it went back to normal.
Whoa, that is good.
And I don't have to worry about hormones affecting me at all. Mm-hmm. I just have a normal hormonal cycle.
Gonna get the copper coil.
Do it.
Apart from my friend, who I won't name, got it and said that after she got it inserted... She essentially, like,
expelled
this really weird, like, psychological reaction where she felt really, really weird about her vagina. Like, she just couldn't explain it. She was just, like, really disgusted by her vagina or really, like, ooh, like, really icked out.
And I've heard that. And the person who told me that they had that reaction said even after it was taken out, their sex drive hasn't recuperated and they still feel this weird feeling of disgust around there. Isn't that incredible?
Wow. I think it might be something to do with the process. She said that she found the process very... Like, invasive and...
It's really invasive. Yeah. And it hurts a bit.
How invasive can it be? Like, open you up and...
Because they open up your cervix. And, like, my cervix has never opened because it's never had a reason to be opened. Think about it. So you've got your uterus, your cervix, and then your vaginal canal. Your cervix, I assume, unless you've given birth to a child, has never been opened.
Mm. And they also have to check to see where your uterus is. So my doctor went straight in with two fingers and like felt...
Touched your uterus?
Well, because it kind of sits on top of your vagina. It's weirdly all over the place. So that they know how to put it in.
Oh, no.
And it's a really invasive procedure. But I would still recommend it to everyone.
But just be prepared for how invasive and how tough it is.
And it can be very painful. I've had it done twice and both times it really hurt.
Oh,
but
I'd
still do
it
again.
How long does it last?
5 or 10 years, depending on the one you get.
Sounds like it's worth it.
Yeah.
And getting it taken out is a doddle.
Really?
Mm. It's just string and they just pull it out because it's very bendy.
I don't want someone to poke my uterus. Anyway, enough about me.
This is really useful, though, information, because, you know, unless you've got, like, a friend who's done every single type of contraception, but not even that, that's just one person, like, to really understand the scale, like, you know, I thought this stuff's useful.
Something that... I just can't get my head around, and I was going to ask you guys about, as someone who is not a fan of periods.
Yeah.
In what way could you ever enjoy having a period? Or like,
Because you'd be like, I'm not pregnant. I guess.
Okay, that's one reason.
But also, even that is a little bit misleading, because you can still get spotting and be pregnant.
Yeah, I think that happened to my mom.
Oh, no.
I hope she won't mind me saying that. I think she thought she wasn't pregnant, and she was like, whoop. And then...
Oh, when she was pregnant with you.
Along came me. I was a happy surprise.
I was too.
Were you?
Yeah.
My mum, her method of contraception was like timing. Mm-hmm. She just thought whenever she and my dad had sex that made me, she just thought she couldn't get pregnant.
Mm.
And then I think she had periods as well.
I'm kind of amazed how effective the rhythm method is. I would never advise anyone to ever, ever do it, but it's kind of crazy.
The rhythm of the month is this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know a great girl band, by the way, called The Rhythm Method.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should check out the
music. And also, like, so many of my friends use the pull-out method.
I know.
That doesn't work, right?
No.
I bet those friends also, like, play the lottery. She's got an appetite
but, like,
for danger.
People who I think are really sensible, yeah. Like, even people who I wouldn't, like, you know, who aren't, like, fun time girls. But they just...
Yeah.
I'm like, pre-cum is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you're going to get pregnant. And then you're going to be like, oops.
But is it because the lads are like, oh, I don't want to wear
a
condom?
No, no, no. Because a lot of women don't like condoms either. Or, you know, just can't be arsed, I guess.
Mm.
But it's just so dumb.
Mm. I mean, you still haven't told me why you enjoy your periods, if you enjoy your periods.
Well, neither of us have any. Why do you enjoy your period, Rowan?
Because it makes me feel like 100% a woman person.
Mm.
You know, it's the one thing that I can do that a man can't. It's what stops me from being a person and makes me a woman. And it's also what creates life. Like, it's so powerful.
Like, every month you're like, I could have created life just now.
But I could have.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could have sustained it. And I think it's great. And, like, the actual practicalities of a period are a bit rubbish. But overall, I really enjoy having it.
When we interviewed a trans woman called Kelly, I'd never, ever heard a trans woman say this before. And she was like, I really, really wish I could have periods. And, like, again, it's just something that as a cis person you just take for granted. Like, for her, that is part of womanhood and it's something that she's missing out on. So she would completely agree with you.
But you don't have periods.
I don't have periods.
I came to see you in New York.
And I had
a
little one.
Oh, right.
Sometimes I still have
little
ones.
We were running around New York and you were like, whoop, it came out. Do you remember? Don't you remember when you bought those little weird little things?
Panty liners.
You know, wait, you bought those weird little, that little cactus thing. Do you remember this day when we went shopping?
You didn't, wasn't saying it was like cactus, was you? Yeah.
You bought that little, those two cactus. Little painted thingies.
Yeah.
Your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And all
I do
day
remember.
You were like, periods going everywhere. And then you went to the loo and it was like one tiny little drop.
Yeah. But you do know that fear of being like, because you just don't want to leak. But yeah, so I still get a really light one sometimes.
Yeah, so do I actually.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy it. I don't not enjoy it, but I'm just like...
It's also because if you just have very, very rare ones, they're pretty nasty as well.
Really?
Do you not think... Okay, mine are a little bit nasty.
How does that happen? That doesn't mean you have to carry stuff with you all the time.
No, because it's like... You just go, oh, for fuck's sake.
That's another pair of knickers gone.
That's that. Those ones in the bin.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, have you got a tampon? Okay. I go round on chat.
Oh, mine isn't enough to have a tampon.
I can't do panty liners. I just, like, I don't like panty liners. I don't like panty liners being in my pants. And I don't like
periods being... But if you use a tampon and there's no blood, isn't it, like...
It's bad, though. No, it's bad because it dries you.
Yeah.
It's like...
It absorbs everything
all the lubrication.
Else. Yeah.
It is bad. You shouldn't.
There is another...
I'm not. I'm just a mate.
It's because I made the sound.
Don't say moon cup, Rowan. Don't say
moon cup. I'm going to say moon cup.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a brand name. Because it's a brand name.
No, because... Ew! I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, but no.
I use a moon cup. And I've used one for about 6 years now. And I love it. And it doesn't get any messier than using a pad or anything like that. Because you're literally not touching blood.
Mm. I think if I still had periods, I would definitely opt for the moon cup.
Really?
No.
Yeah, because otherwise...
I think that's all well and good saying that. And I think maybe you wouldn't actually, if push came to shove.
A lot of trans men I know who have periods use moon cups.
Really?
Because they don't have to have all the paraphernalia on them, which makes them feel scared and nervous about, like, being, quote-unquote, found out or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so it's more private. And contained. Can I introduce a new word, maybe to end? someone used this the other day. Menstruation for trans men who have periods.
Oh, nice.
Menstruation.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's
that's for, you can have that one for free.
Okay.
For all the times that we need to use it. Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. Okay. This is a tangential, but the funniest ever thread I found on Mumsnet was this thread about people just... I think this is what started it. It basically is a thread of loads of women being like, this weird thing happens to my body, does it happen to you? And it is, like, fascinating. Like, just all the random things you don't even realise happen to you. But the first one... Oh, no. Oh, no, I remember. So the woman that posted it wrote, my husband, after we've had sex... dunks his dick
in a
cup of water. Is this normal?
That, which was a fantastic thread because a lot of people proceeded to point out that there is nothing normal about that.
And it was like a big plastic, like, orange beaker. It was like their willy dunking beaker. But anyway, so but it started all this, basically gave this, like, space for all these women to be like, okay, so that was weird. So maybe this thing that happens to me or that I do isn't that weird. But my favourite one was javelin arse. And they were like, do you ever just get a massive shooting pain, like, up your bum? Like, it feels like you've been stabbed in the bum with a javelin. And I think it's related to periods. And I was like, oh my God, yes!
Javelin arse is the best description of it ever. That's amazing.
Does that happen to you ever? Yeah. Like, really rarely? Yeah. You're just suddenly like, what? And someone's like, what's wrong? And you're like,
nothing. Just a bit of javelin arse.
Just got a crick in my neck. Yeah.
When you're describing it, it sounds familiar, but I don't know when was the last time I encountered
it. It's happened to me like 3 times or something, but it's just so invasive in a way, but you can't really say, oh yeah, I just feel like I've been just stabbed randomly. In the ass. Yeah, just for no reason. But thinking back, I think it's probably the period pain thing.
Because you know that's part of the reason why you shit yourself when you're on your period is because your uterus...
I agree.
Wait,
not shit yourself. You are more likely to have diarrhea,
right?
Because your uterus expands and it pushes onto your colon, I believe, because it's inflamed.
Yeah, just generally more toilet going on.
I'd agree with that.
Maybe it's poo that grosses me out, like bum holes and poo. I just can't. Maybe that's what it is. I'm trying to work out why I got so freaked out before when you were talking about bum holes. Can we talk about orgasms? I'm going to ask you a question and you don't have to answer it. But in your orgasm episode, you revealed that you hadn't had an orgasm until last year, which was when you were 28.
It was actually 2 years ago.
Okay.
But I think I messed up on that. It was 2 years ago. But anyway.
Okay, fine. So I wanted to know if you can share, because, so first of all, I wanted to know, like, all the time when you were living and hadn't had an orgasm, was it this, like, big thing in your mind that you were like, oh my God, what is that? Like, why haven't I had one? I really want to have one. And therefore, when you did, was it like this? I just can't imagine being like, like for the first time when you're 28 or 27 or whatever. Was it a huge thing?
No. And it honestly didn't bother me that much before. There was one time I remember I went on a girls' holiday and we were all sat around the pool and like, by the 7th time that one of my friends was like, really, really, really never, I was like, oh, this is like kind of a bit of a thing. Because it just hadn't bothered me that much before then. And I think in a way, it's good that I wasn't so hung up on this one thing. That's positive. And in a way, it's actually sad that I didn't see it as important to work on my sexuality because I just didn't think it mattered that much, you know? And now I think it does.
Mm. Was your first orgasm awesome, or was it just like a mini half orgasm?
So Leia knows about my first orgasm.
I know about how you had it, but I don't know. I want to know like what it was like.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh, that was an orgasm. Because you know what it's like? Like, it's a bit ambiguous sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, so sometimes you're like in a bit of a hurry or like, you know. Or there is like... Dan Savage talks about this. The orgasmic, like the point of no return. Orgasmic inevitability. And what happens after that point is quite important. Because like sometimes you know that you're going to come and it's sort of, but then it just is a bit shit. And other times there's like a rhythm. Maybe I'm just not very good at sort of controlling. I don't know. It's a bit random.
It is random. I don't know if you can control it though. While we're on orgasms for 1 second, I did not realise how many different kinds there are. So... vaginal orgasm, clitoral orgasm, cervical orgasm, the corgasm.
No, this is real.
I do not have two close friends that are lying to me to my face.
Okay,
it's real.
So I read about the corgasm, which was like, oh my God, it made me so angry. It was an article about how if you work out loads and do loads of sit-ups, you can have a corgasm. And I was like, that is bullshit. And that is just another way to try and make me feel bad about not doing any sit-ups because I haven't had a fucking corgasm.
So
stop lying.
I think some people's bodies are not wired that way, but some people's just are. One of my friends said, no, both of them said that if they do sit-ups, they're like, and they can't do it at the gym because they'll just come in the gym.
There's a YouTube video. Because you keep doing sit-ups because you're essentially masturbating.
Well, there's a YouTube video apparently you can watch of a guy holding onto some bars and doing like pull up, like lifting up his legs, and he's naked, and you can see him first of all getting a boner and then coming. Evidence, online evidence.
Yeah, I can't do that in the gym.
Is that something to do with balls?
Leg raises.
Yeah, leg raises.
No, it's not to do with balls.
it's just, it's a corgasm.
All right.
Well, yeah, I've had like, also since being on tea, really, it's like, it changes the way your muscles work, I think, as well. Because I was getting this weird pain that felt like period pain for a while, and I realised it was because of my core was too tight. And I was like having, there was like internal muscle spasms going on.
Oh, wow.
And it was because I was working.
Too hard?
Yeah. Not to make you feel bad again later, but my core was so fucking tight.
Sitting here, like...
So I had to have all sorts of, like, ultrasounds, because I thought it was something going wrong, like it was some effect of testosterone on my reproductive organs. But it was... I had to go see a gynecologist. It was really awkward sitting in the waiting room, surrounded by women, looking at me like, what's he doing here? And yeah, she was like, yeah, you've just got the tightest core muscles.
Wow. Are you really good at balancing?
Yeah, kind of am, actually.
I just... cool. you reminded me.
Yeah.
There's something, like, girls' holidays, you know, when you were like, okay, you went on a girls' holiday and everyone was like, oh, have you never had an orgasm, blah, blah, blah. The thing I love the most about being a woman is, like, those open conversations, but I also think sometimes they're, like, the worst thing ever. When you, like, have a conversation with somebody and they're... This is why I really like Vagina Dispatches, because it was like having that conversation but with loads and loads of people. Because if you say you're with three friends and they're all like, yeah, I have an orgasm every time I have sex, and like all I need is just a penis and for like 2 minutes or whatever.
It can be and then you're like,
surely
oh my
not
God.
A penis a lot of the time.
Well, no. Well, yeah, no. I'm just saying, for example, if that's what they said, which... Yeah. I've had that conversation, like, just in terms of, like, it depends who the mix of people is, that all you really want is for somebody else to be like you, but sometimes, but then when you, why are you making that face?
What?
And this such is, a Christmassy sentiment.
No, but it's true. And honestly, it's...
Love, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a really sweet thing to say. No, sorry.
No, but
I'm
it's,
not,
it's,
trying,
it's
sounds really
basically,
patronizing.
Even though you... intellectually know that everybody's really different and that bodies are really complicated and da-da-da-da-da, I think you can't help, or I can't help, still sometimes being like, oh, you're normal and I'm not normal.
And you know what? This is why I think that data journalism is kind of underrated, right? Like, this is where statistics are really useful, to be like 60, and this isn't the number, I'm making this up, I don't remember what the number is, but to be like 65% of women can come from penetrative sex alone.
But
that's helpful.
But it's helpful, yeah. Except for the fact that every time I hear that statistic, it is wildly different.
Oh.
So you're like, oh, yay. Oh, no. Oh, really? Ah. You just, it doesn't help me. Like,
but this is, I mean, this is one of the upsides of like being in a community like the FTM trans man community, is like you spend a lot of time when you're figuring your shit out communicating directly, or like immersing yourself in a place that is all about listening to people, hearing from people who have exactly the same experience as you do. And it's like, you, I forget that a lot of people never had that in their life, of like real solidarity and identification with other people who are just like them.
Yeah,
it's when you're part of a, when you're trans, it forces you to go and find those other people. Otherwise, like, the alternative is like really dark and awful. But ultimately, if you can find those people, it's fantastic, because you're just like, you have this endless resource of like, you know, actual like picture sharing and like vlogging and all these things that, if I want to know something, I know exactly where to go. Well, I know like the specific Facebook group that is just for this thing for trans men, and I can get instant validation and reassurance.
And again, talking about like our blind spots, I feel like that's so important for people who aren't in like big cities, you know? Like when we were talking to Callie, she's a trans woman who lives in like a really, really small town. There are no other trans people where she lives. And those online communities are so important for her. That was where she found out that there are, like you said, there are other people just like her. And she didn't really know that before then.
No. And people, that's often something that trans people often feel they need to like... tell people when they knew, or like, yeah, have you always known that you were trans? And if not, then like, maybe it's not so valid, kind of thing. But and it's weird to be like, I didn't know I was trans until I was 23, because I didn't know trans people existed. Had no words, could not describe what I felt.
And thank God that like our vocabulary is continuing to expand. Again, like we met this incredible person called Andy in episode 4, who was saying that they just identify with no pronouns, absolutely nothing. There are they, you know. And like, I don't know, that to me is something that just obviously existed before, but there was just no vocabulary for that, like, for the longest time. And it's only been in the past few years that we've even started to talk about that. That was really important for them.
Do you find that, like, your mood affects your orgasms?
Without a doubt. There's definitely an emotional and psychological component to all of this, and something that we didn't really talk about that much in the series. And again, if there were to be a season two, this is something that I'd really want to look at, which is a really, I don't want to say an extreme example of this, but we don't really talk about sexual assault in the series and the huge impact that has on people's relationship with their genitals. And if you have been sexually assaulted, that has longed, obviously, I mean, it's so, so obvious, but in terms of people's sex lives, we spoke to a woman who said that actually giving birth was particularly traumatic to her because it reminded her of the trauma that her vagina had experienced. And it was like reliving it, which I just hadn't heard. And I feel like, again, all of this stuff is so important. If you are a sexual assault survivor and you become pregnant, you should know that you might feel, you know, be emotionally and psychologically prepared for that kind of an experience. Again, these are just conversations that we're not really having.
I was going to add to that. I think running on a system, a testosterone-based system, I feel like orgasms for me are a much more functional pop. they're just like, there is much less of an emotional component. It's more like, I will not be able to sleep if I don't come.
That's so interesting.
But do you know what, though? Again, so much, it's very hard, I think, to differentiate between, obviously, there is hugely a hormonal aspect to this, but also, like, what if people with vaginas had been raised differently? Like, a friend of mine was saying that she had, like, endless insomnia, and she never, ever put it down to that, and she just, like, started masturbating and started sleeping better.
But having been running on both systems, I can, for me, it was definitely a change that came with testosterone.
Yeah.
But that applies to not just orgasms, that's just like life in general. I just thought a lot less about things.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
No, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But it has upsides, because it's like, whatever. Going to get over things a lot quicker. But then on the other hand, you're like, am I just a cold, stone-hearted dick? Yeah.
Oh, Leia, a bit too ready with that word for ready there.
Yes, you are. I've been meaning to tell you. Did you find out that for women, are orgasms more mental? Because I feel like it makes such a difference to me whether I'm like trying to or not. Like, you can get, I think women get really in their head sometimes about orgasms. They're like, oh, how long is this going to take? Like, blah, blah, blah. And then it just gets like really like messy up in your head and you can't. But if you're just like chilling.
Again, because science and medicine have just neglected us for so long, there's very little research about this. Dr. Nikki Prousey, who we spoke to in episode 3, has been doing research on this using brain scans of women's heads and of men's heads as well while they're masturbating to try and figure out what's happening. I mean, reading brains is complicated. They put like a brain scanner on me and they were just like, well, it looks like maybe you're aroused, but maybe you're also disgusted.
And they've had a problem with funding for their research.
Yeah.
Precisely because of what it's about.
Yeah.
Did you discuss whether you were going to masturbate or were you just like, no? Like, for
again,
the thing,
we just felt like
scan.
It was probably a little bit unnecessary.
I would have thought it was great. I would have just loved
I mean, okay, so she sent us home with these electronic butt plugs because, as she said, she measures from the anus because that's the one part of physiology that's similar for men and women. And I didn't realise that for both men and women, the anus contracts when you're orgasming.
Here we go again. The bum holes.
Yeah, she retched.
It wasn't a real retch. It was like for effect, like bleh. Sorry, carry on.
So she sent us home
anus.
With these butt plugs that you connect to podcasting equipment, funnily enough, and we were supposed to masturbate, and then she would measure the sound waves.
Oh my god!
To like listen in on our anuses to figure out if
like
we
dolphins.
Were having the contractions. I guess I've never had my bumhole compared to a dolphin before, but sure. First time for everything. May and I took them home, and somehow neither of us quite got round that. The butt plugs look so nasty. They look they're just like these nasty pink rubber things that I fear maybe I would put it in and not be able to get it out again. Imagine going to the doctor.
My friend, is friends with... No. Trust, you're going to know this isn't me. Or if you think this is me, then I'm really, really upset. She's a doctor. I went to uni with this girl, but I don't really know her that well anymore. And a woman came in with a live pigeon in her vagina.
Wait, how did she get an entire pigeon in
it
her
wasn't
vagina?
It wasn't all the way in, so the feet and stuff were still sticking out.
So my mum...
And then we were discussing for ages, if you were to put a live pigeon in your vagina, would you put it head first or feet first?
Feet first.
Dirty, claws, yeah. Claws. Have you
I
seen
think
pigeons'
head first,
feet as well?
Because it would die eventually. It would die quite soon.
I think you'd have to go head first,
yeah.
Because...
Let's go with the grain, you know, yeah. With the feathers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the claws...
Yeah, the claws are nasty.
Their feet are all horrible.
If you've got a really stumpy one, it'd be all right.
My mum also had men who had come in with hamsters in sandwich bags in their bum holes.
Yeah, hamsters is quite a common...
What?
Yeah.
Wait, is this a thing that people do?
Yeah.
Well, probably maybe not. Maybe it's like the sort of thing that everyone's
Look,
heard and no one actually does.
She knows.
What?
Everyone knows.
Have you all done it?
Several times.
I just can't work out if this is like a normal thing that you're on. It can't be.
If you're going to put something in your bum, put it in a sandwich bag first for hygiene. That's useful.
Yeah.
A condom.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What about... But we were talking about vaginas.
If you're going to put something in your vagina, you should probably put it in a... Do you know what else?
Oh, okay. It's a use for a femidom.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like the female equivalent of a posh wank. You like finger yourself through a sandwich bag. You know, like when men
what is a posh wank?
Do you not know about posh wank?
I've never heard of
what?
Posh wank.
How do you know about gerbils?
What's a posh wank?
When you wank, when a man, a person with a penis, wanks with a condom on. Do you not know about that?
No.
Do you not know? Oh, okay. Anyway, so the female equivalent could be like put a sandwich bag on your finger.
One last thing maybe to say is the vagina.dispatches@theguardian.com email is still open, and we've been putting people's questions to doctors. We've been really, really trying to follow up on stuff. So, and even if it's not a question, if it's like an experience that you want us to look into, because anything you've experienced, you're probably not alone, as Leia kind of said.
Looks at me like that, like you're not alone, Leia.
And if you're going to make a wish this Christmas, make it for season two of Vagina Dispatches a thing, because like the world needs it.
Thank you.
Definitely. Great. Thank you for coming all the way from New York to see us right now.
That's what happened.
So that's it for 2016. It's been, I feel like this is a really appropriate end to 2016, like complete chaos.
You can review and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Audioboom, and all the other great podcatchers out there.
And if you want to get in touch, it's podcasts@theguardian.com or on Twitter @GuardianAudio. We'd love to hear from you. I'm tweeting @FredMcConnell.
I'm @LeiaGreenTweets.
Our producer was Rowan Slaney.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.